how good are you at gathering the confidence you need, either to just get through life day by day, or perhaps to step up to those occasions where you may need to do something, such as to stand in front of an audience to try to achieve something that work perhaps puts your a little on edge, given the normal daily circumstances. With me is the Queen of Confidence. She has the website to prove it, the queenofconfidence.com. Her name's Erica Kramer, and she herself has an interesting story which has led her to this position. Erica, good evening.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, well. Were you always confident, even as a child?
No way. I think as a child we are. My son is definitely like me, and I think we learn along the way to care what people think and worry about things. I think children are the best examples of pure, you know, naive confidence.
It'd be lovely to go back to that, wouldn't it, where your trust in the world is always rewarded, or hopefully always rewarded. What kind of path did you follow? What was your childhood like? You're American born?
Yes, and I am. So I was, I was born in Boston, and I grew up in Boston for my life for a long time. And I kind of was, my mom was bipolar. I was a single child, and my mom was a single mother. So she, I think she was the one that showed me kind of what confidence looked like. And she, being bipolar, was in and out of, you know, mental hospitals, and I was in and out of foster homes. So I grew up a bit crazy in foster care system and dealt with a lot of sexual abuse, physical abuse from my mom because she was ill, and she would get a little bit manic and, like, beat me up. And so that was a little bit of a crazy start for me, and I think it really stemmed how I was in my youth and how I did in school. And then I joined the military, and that was a whole another story for 10 years. I was in the Army. And I think I was trying to run away from Boston and move across the world. And then it brought me to falling in love with my high school sweetheart, who ended up passing away and going to Iraq and all of this crazy stuff. And I think that finally I ended up in Florida, and I was in this relationship where I wasn't looking after myself. I didn't care about myself. I was just really living for the relationship and putting myself last, as I think a lot of women do. You know, we worry about everybody buckling up their seatbelt or looking after our kids and our friends and our work, and we don't really look after ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a terrible car accident where I ended up breaking my back and having to learn how to walk again and having all this metal, titanium in my body. And then the year after, I lost my husband. So it was just this crazy thing that happened, all this trauma and stuff my whole life. And then I ended up running away to Australia from a man that I met, of course, as you do, in Las Vegas. Good old Paul. I met Paul in Las Vegas. He ended up not being a nice man, but he brought me to this beautiful country where I ended up meeting my husband, who introduced me to a life coach. And there is where all of the hard work on looking at all the dirt I had buried under my rug for so many years. And really, that's where my confidence started to be created. It was hard. It was a lot of tears, salty liquid from my eyeballs, as I call it. And it was that, all of that work that I got to do to really look at my story as something to empower me, not so much as poor me. This is what happened to me. I'm so grateful that it happened for me now. So that's kind of what brought me here.
How difficult was that for you to identify or to accept that you needed help, that someone could help you turn around your life and approach it differently?
That's a really good question. I think when people are ready, when people are, some of my clients are like, I'm over this. I'm not getting the results I want. I'm not living life the way I want. I'm not getting the promotion. I'm dating a bunch of jerks. You know, I'm unhappy in my body. So I think that you have to get to that point yourself where you are really unhappy and where you really feel like, what the heck's going on? You know, when is life going to give me a break? And in that moment, when someone introduces you to, I mean, now we have podcasts and YouTube videos and all coaches everywhere, you know, trying to tell you how to be better. But at that point, I didn't know about life coaching. I grew up in a little ghetto town in Boston. You know, I knew therapy, and that for me didn't really work. So I think you have to be ready. You have to be in a bit of pain, and you have to be looking for something to help you and shift you. Because if you're not open and not ready, I mean, no one's going to be able to help someone unless they really want to do it. So I was in a place where I knew I needed to do something about it.
Mm. Erica, what have you come to understand confidence to mean? What would you understand confidence to be? How would you describe confidence?
Oh, confidence. It's so funny. This is such a great question. I get it all the time. I really think that the way I see it, confidence is something like the belief in yourself. So you're knowing that you have the ability to do anything that you can do, even if you're scared. So I think confidence in its purest is knowing that we all have the same abilities and trusting yourself, even though you're scared as hell, even though you've never done it before. And so confidence to me is scary. It's an emotion that we can all feel depending on the thoughts that we're thinking. It feels like crap most of the time. You know, it's extremely scary. It's not this beautiful, amazing thing that I think so many people think it's for. The Kardashians, you know, or the girls that are thinner, or the people that have their money sorted. It's like it's available to all of us. But to me, I think it's the belief that we have that ability.
How do you work with people? And I think it's probably largely is women. How do you work with women to try to help them to achieve that or to reclaim that, Erica?
Yeah, it's definitely women. I started doing workshops and I just thought we all have the same problem. We just have it in our own different ways. So I thought if we can get women in a room and we can all talk about it, and I share my story very openly, and it's a hard story, but I share it because I know that it got given to me to share to someone who may need to hear it for their own hope. So when I start opening up about my life and how crazy it was, people start to feel comfortable. And then in the room, in this workshop I do, it's a 3-hour workshop. Within the first half an hour, women are crying, women are sharing, people are sharing their story. So I think that when they hear that other people feel the same way and other people experience the same thing, then it's like, oh, wow, I'm not alone in this. You know, we're kind of united and together, and people start to get really comfortable. And so we do it in massive groups. And then from there, I think people really go, I need to do some more work with you. I always offer if they want to, or they may jump onto my podcast and or Instagram and follow socially. And so that's kind of, I work with women one-on-one in groups, and then I have a group coaching that I do. I like to do in-person stuff.
What would you say would be the first steps for somebody to take if they wanted to improve their confidence, just themselves? What should they look at or think about?
I think I have this belief. This is not right set in stone, but the way I look at confidence is a little bit different. I try to peel back the layers of why people don't do the things they truly want to do. And so I really have this firm belief that a lot of it stems from caring so much what other people think. And why wouldn't we do the things that we want to do if we weren't so fearful of what will they say, what will they think? And I don't know about you, but this was very familiar for me growing up. And a lot of my clients, it's their parents or their grandmas or their fathers that said, what would people think? And so we've continued to keep this. And so before we take an action or before we do something or mess up, because part of confidence is you got to mess up. You got to fall down and get real dirty in front of people and go, oops, sorry, get back up and keep going. So I think we have such a fear of what other people may say or may think about us. And I really feel that that stops us in going for things. And, you know, like children don't care when they fall and they're trying to walk. My 1.5-year-old is now walking and he falls, he gets back up. He doesn't look around and go, oh, did anybody see that? You know, or I'm going to give up. I can't do this.
How do you think social media has played into this in reinforcing that belief that we must be perfect or care about what other people think?
Yes. So I love it because I ask this question, why do we lack confidence in my workshop? And everyone, there's always someone that says, social media. And I just want to like go into it there. But it's funny because I truly believe that what you give your attention to is what will, you know, dictate how you feel. So if you're following a bunch of thin women who have a six pack and who eat nothing and Kardashians and are artificial, and if you're following that and you don't agree with it, yet you still scroll and you still tap and you still go into it, of course it's going to make you feel like you're lacking confidence because your subconscious is saying, she looks like that, I don't. That's better, I'm less. Because the media gives us all of this. You know, we know that there's a certain way we're supposed to look. I'm doing air quotes, right? But I genuinely also believe on the flip side, there has never been more empowering social media accounts, social media people that are going against the grain. And so I think social media is an amazing place to feel confident if you follow the right people.
That's the trick, isn't it? To find that which reinforces rather than that which is to your detriment and to wallow in inadequacy, I think.
Of course, because you can say, oh, you know, Melbourne's a horrible town. And that's your perception of who you've met and how you see the world. I could say Melbourne's amazing. And it's like, who's right? It's just your perception. So how do you see social media? If you think it's a horrible place and it's killing your confidence, then that's how it's going to go for you versus I think I can find things here that can empower me if I start unfollowing people and following, because there's so many women who are doing amazing things in body confidence and, you know, no makeup and mothers just going, hey, this is me. I'm a hot mess. Follow my journey of hot mess motherhood, which is actual motherhood. And it's great to watch.
They're great, aren't they? And I've discovered a few. There's a few that are well known and I found a new one from the UK. Their language, their approach, whether it's menopause or bringing up children is, this is me.
Yes.
If you don't like it, just go elsewhere. How great are those women?
And I think it really, when we try to be perfect, this is my thought around it. Perfection equals intimidation. Perfection equals, oh, you don't get me. You're not like me. I'm not as good as you. And so the more perfect we try to be, the more beautiful we try to be, the more, you know, perfected our Instagram or social media, everything we do, when it's really perfect, it just intimidates women that go, oh my gosh, that's hard. And it's so exhausting to try to be that perfect. It's not real. And when we can be messed up and, you know, talk about poo or talk about motherhood or talk about whatever, normal stuff, then people go, oh, wow, okay, they kind of let go and they can open up to you. And that builds, that vulnerability builds connection. Not being ashamed of that, because the impact that I've been able to have with the women that really are my women is huge. And if I stay to be vanilla, you know, like everybody loves vanilla. If I'm vanilla, I'm not going to find my people. So I'm like cookies and cream and a waffle cone with almonds, you know, I'm like, yeah, very distinctive taste.
I love it. I'll make myself a lemon cheesecake. Erica Kramer, a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in tonight.